Roughly 1 year ago, I heard colleagues refer to a meeting on Zoom. It was one of those passing references, you know, where people assume you already know what they mean. But I didn't. I'd literally never heard of the brand. Within a few days, of course, I knew, as did millions of others who likely had not known before. Zoom is by no means the only way for a video meeting, but the company has come out ahead during the pandemic. Zoom is among NPR's financial supporters, and we cover it like any other company. NPR's Shannon Bond has the company's pandemic story.
Zoom's chief financial officer, Kelly Steckelberg, vividly remembers one specific date last spring.
March 15th last year was the day when everything changed. It's like we woke up and almost overnight, the demand grew exponentially.
Demand from companies trying to keep running after sending everybody home, schools setting up virtual classrooms. Then the floodgates opened. Here at NPR, we did stories about fitness classes moving to Zoom.
You're going to need a broom and a towel.
Happy hours, complete with drinking games.
We figured out rules for virtual beer pong.
One of our producers watched her sister get married over Zoom.
You may now seal your vows with a kiss.
By April, Zoom meetings were attracting 300 million participants a day, 30 times the amount just a few months before. Zoom was an upstart, and it was going up against products from giants like Google and Microsoft, which are both NPR supporters. So how did Zoom beat these heavyweights?
The real reason is it was just simply way easier.
Jason Fried is CEO of Basecamp, a company that makes remote work software. He told me over his preferred app, Skype, he's been working remotely for 2 decades. He says Zoom made sending a meeting link as easy as sharing a YouTube video.
You open a room, you get a URL, you send the URL around to people. That's it.
Unlike other video meetings, the people you invite to Zoom don't have to log in or download software. Fried says that simplicity meant even though the app was intended for companies, it was really easy for everyone else to use too. But Zoom was so popular and convenient, it had a downside.
The FBI is warning about Zoom bombing.
Intruders had started crashing Zoom meetings because security was so lax. Town halls, school classes, AA meetings were all targets. Dennis Johnson knows all about this. Last March, he was defending his doctoral dissertation on Zoom in front of family and friends when an unknown attacker scrawled racial slurs and genitalia on the screen. A year later, Johnson still avoids Zoom when he can.
Every time somebody called me a doctor, I think of that moment. So it's just like, it's just a nasty taste in my mouth.
Researchers uncovered other security and privacy flaws. Zoom told users meetings were fully encrypted when they weren't. The company admitted it shut down the accounts of activists in China after pressure from the government. Zoom went into damage control mode. It put everything except privacy and security on pause for 3 months, and it reached settlements with federal and state regulators investigating the issues. Steckelberg, Zoom's CFO, says the episode was a wake-up call.
It was a humbling experience for all of us, but we learned a lot through it, and we have come out on the other side a stronger, a better company with a stronger and more secure platform.
Now, after a year of daily life and major milestones conducted over Zoom, what happens when people get vaccinated and can go back to seeing each other face-to-face? Daniel Ives is an analyst at Wedbush Securities.
There could definitely be a roaring 20s type feel post-COVID where people are just going to want to get out and just almost a pent-up demand.
But he says Zoom has made such inroads into our lives in the past year, it's here to stay. So there's still time to learn how to use the mute button. Shannon Bond, NPR News.